Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast and beyond, This Week in America. Euthanasia, the act of assisted suicide, was once outlawed in every country in the world because it destroys civilizations. Euthanasia rebutted No Right to Life in Australia by Daisy Snow investigates the implementation of 21st century euthanasia laws advocated by the World Euthanasia Movement that penetrates European and Western democratic parliaments. In 1996-97, the Federal Parliament of Australia provided evidence from euthanasia countries in Europe that regulations and procedures endorsed as safeguards in euthanasia laws do not work. The euthanasia premier of Victoria used compassion and emotion as a political tool to endorse the World Euthanasia Movement's agenda in Parliament itself. Other states in Australia are copying Victoria's euthanasia end-of-life death laws. Now, in Victoria, murder under certain conditions is not a crime anymore. Daisy Snow, our guest on the program, is a highly educated disability support pensioner who overcame terminal illnesses and injuries. She wrote letters to all members of Parliament in 2017 when the euthanasia bill was on the table. Although Parliament agreed that she was vulnerable, as were other categories of people she listed, well, they refused to endorse legislation to protect the vulnerable. That's why Daisy investigated euthanasia and wrote an informative book about it in 2018, updated since. Although the author was not murdered under the state's euthanasia law, like other innocent and disenfranchised people, she remains vulnerable. Her book, Euthanasia Rebutted, No Right to Life in Australia, provides vivid and graphic evidence about the value, purpose, and sanctity of life. Her area of expertise, apart from her numerous university qualifications, is metaphysics. And international best-selling author and human rights advocate, Daisy Snow, is back with us from Australia on This Week in America. Daisy, a pleasure having you back in the program. A very important topic. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you. You're right.
It is alarming when you're reading this, and even the title of the book gets your attention, Euthanasia Rebutted, No Right to Life in Australia. Interesting conversation today. The time will go by quickly. I will give you Daisy's website information to order a copy of the book for yourself and her other books as well. Daisy, why did you use the metaphysical perspective in your analysis of euthanasia?
Because religion has only got belief. It can't actually explain why, you know, euthanasia, you know, is really destroyed civilizations because the inner self, the me, you know, inside us, still lives on after the death of the physical body. And, I mean, years ago, the people understood these things. I explained in my book the various evidence there is that life does continue in some form after the death of the physical body. Now, the problem is that in parliaments, they only accept what professionals say and what academics say. In Victoria, there was no public debate. They only had opinion polls, and they had a parliamentary vote on the issue. And the thing is that the Premier used compassion and sympathy instead of reason and logic. And that's how he was able to bring in, you know, these euthanasia laws. Now, the problem is that what he did was that he went beyond what is happening or in euthanasia countries in Europe. Because in Europe, a person who wants to commit suicide has to plead in earnest to be allowed euthanasia and has to drink his own poison, his or her own. But in Australia, they have nurses who murder with a lethal injection the particular patient. Now, the thing was that in late 2020, I had a problem with my son and tried to go home and the borders were closed, so they put me in a mental hospital. And I was asked every day, like everyone else, do you want to commit suicide? Now, what I found was Now, that happened about 75 times. But the thing is, if you answer yes once to that everyday suicide question, you're then considered to have a terminal illness, and you're murdered by these third world nurses with a lethal injection. Now, I was asked about 75 times, but when I became fully aware, you know, as to what was actually happening, I objected. And, you know, they questioned me about that, and I objected because I'd written all these letters to all members of Parliament in 2017 as a conscientious objector. The problem is that the definition of a conscientious objector was not defined in the Act. And so what they did was I was actually kicked out of that mental hospital because I proved that I was a conscientious objector. And this is it's really alarming because, yes. Like in Europe in 1990, the Dutch government investigated and they found that doctors of medicine had killed 1,000 people like with a lethal injection without their knowledge or permission. And
just shocking information that Daisy shares in the book, Euthanasia Rebutted, No Right to Life in Australia. The book, by the way, a finalist in the Montaigne Medal under the umbrella of the Eric Hoffer Award, given to the most thought-provoking and illuminating book. To be a finalist is a real honor and says something about the fine investigative work that Daisy put into this book, Euthanasia Rebutted. The book is available, urlinkpublishing.com, all of the usual places. Daisy's website is daisysnow9-11books.com. I'll mention some of the other books as we go through. Several books on 9/11. Her website, daisysnow911books.com, with a dash in between the 9 and 11. All of this, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Daisy, is there an alternative reason for endorsing euthanasia laws in parliamentary legislation?
Yes, there is. It reduces the number of people who require like health care and welfare benefits. So it's a benefit to Parliament, you know, because they then have more money. Now, the point here is that the euthanasia Premier in Victoria, that's Dan Andrews, he used exactly the same methods that Hitler used in the Holocaust when he killed off the unproductive, not just the Jews. And, you know, we're talking about estimations even go up to 200,000 people, maybe more. He used these euthanasia laws, and he did that to cut the costs. And then he was able to use the money he saved from healthcare and pensions, you know, to build up his army. So the alternative reason for these euthanasia laws is financial. You know, it assists Parliament rather than the people. I mean, the people didn't have a say. They only had opinion polls. Now, the thing is that a Parliament in a democratic country is supposed to do what the people want.
Yes.
They didn't. They just did what the euthanasia movement, the World Euthanasia Movement, wanted. And the Premier used exactly the same arguments that they use, in disregarding to the people. And the problem is that Australia, and I have recently put in a submission because the Senate in Australia is now investigating these excess deaths. Excess deaths all around the world. And I put in a submission, and I also sent them my book, Euthanasia Rebutted. The point is that if we were told at university years ago that where there is a problem, write a book about it, and that way you can force Parliament to change the laws. Because the problem is that people like me, my age, will be murdered with a lethal injection. Because that's what they're doing. They put people, old people like me, in mental hospitals for no legitimate reason whatsoever. And it's very distressing, you know, to most people.
Oh, yes.
The thing is that the nurses are not allowed to tell the people that this everyday suicide question is all about euthanasia laws, and the people don't know that they are euthanasia mental health patients. I didn't know that. And once I became fully aware, you know, of the methods they were using to murder the people with a lethal injection, and they have third world nurses and psychiatrists. Now, when I was there, I said, well, why am I here? And the psychiatrist said it was because I wrote the book Matriarch and World War III. Now, what I found was when I was there, there was quite a number of other people who had written a book. Now, writing a book is not a mental illness, but that's why people, you know, were in there. So we have a problem, and we've got two problems here. Yes. And that is that psychiatrists, they're the ones who decide whether to murder a person with a lethal injection, you know, under euthanasia laws. And the problem is that a psychiatrist only has to read the notes that the nurses write down. And the thing is, I mean, if you don't have a witness. I mean, in the olden days when people were murdered by a court order, you know, if they were killed in a chamber, like a death chamber, so there were witnesses. But the thing is that when you're in the mental hospital, they ask you the question every day, do you want to commit suicide? You have no witnesses. And I mean, if you get a nurse who's a euthanasia nurse or a compulsive liar, she's liable to write in on the file, in the medical file, that the person said yes. So it's a very, very dangerous. And the problem is that the people like in Victoria and elsewhere do not know that old people like me are put in these mental hospitals for no proper reason, ask the suicide question every day, and if they answer yes once, they're regarded as having a terminal illness and therefore can be murdered under the euthanasia laws by third world nurses. The reason they've got third world nurses and psychiatrists doing that is because Australian nurses would refuse to do it.
Yes.
Whereas third world nurses, that they have a culture which is aside, you know, from our culture. So we've got a very dangerous situation. And the thing is that the ordinary person in Australia has no idea about how these euthanasia laws work. They think it's only for people who are terminally ill and only going to live for a short period of time. Now, the euthanasia premier, the reason he brought this law, why this law was endorsed in parliamentary legislation, was because he had a friend who died from cancer. Now, the thing is, in a democratic country, the parliament is supposed to do what the people want. The problem is, our democratic system, there are failures, there are holes in it, and a person who is like premier or prime minister can become like a dictator. And that's why Dan Andrews is called a dictator, because in social media, you know, he's called Dictator Dan.
Yes.
And the public didn't have a say. This was more or less forced on us, and this was because they had a parliamentary vote. Now, the thing is that in a parliamentary vote, the outcome is known before the vote is taken, because a member of parliament must do what his organisation that got him into parliament, you know, what they want.
Yes.
So the people were told that the members of parliament will have a conscientious vote on the issue, but that's not the case. A member of parliament must do, as I said, what his organisation tells him to do. So we have a dangerous situation. I mean, Australia, and for other reasons, I mean, it's quite common, is really not democracy anymore. Having just one day for the vote doesn't make the country into a democracy. It's only when the parliament takes note of what the people want and makes laws according to what the people want. That doesn't happen anymore.
It is a chilling book, and so much of this not known to people in Australia, certainly people in the world, until Daisy Snow, our guest on the program, published Euthanasia Rebutted, No Right to Life in Australia. The book is available wherever books are sold, published by urlinkpublishing.com. Daisy's website is daisysnow9-11books.com. On Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places worldwide. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Her other books, Matriarch and World War III, several versions of that book, as well as 9/11 and the Holy War, 21st Century Style Answers and Questions. That book available at the website, several versions of that as well. Soon to be published, Report to the UFO Alien It. And we've talked about that in the program before, and I'm sure well before that book is out. Boy, time goes by so quickly, so much to talk about. I want to go back to the psychiatrist in Australia. Why do they only have to consider a person's right to die? Why is that?
Because Australia is not like America. In the United States, there's a right to life, you know, in the Constitution, but there is no such right to life. There's no right to life in any constitution or in any law in Australia. And this was obviously because Australia was a convict country originally. And, I mean, it wasn't illegal, you know, to kill a convict. And the problem is that the courts of law and the system hasn't really changed from their convict mentality. And that is a word used in the public arena, you know, the convict mentality of the system. And so we don't have a right to life. So a psychiatrist only has to consider a person's right to die. They don't not have to consider that a person has a right to life. It is though a right to life doesn't exist. There's a problem for the Aboriginal people too, because the government, they have educational programs for the Aboriginal people. And the point is that they are taught you have a right to die. They're never, never. And so a person who is probably not well feels obligated because that they're not told that you have a right to life. There's no right to life to balance the right to die in Australia like there is in the United States. And this is, now I actually advised all members of Parliament about a couple of years ago that we never had a right to life, and they just completely ignored me. So the thing is that I've recently put in a submission because the Senate in Australia has an inquiry into excess deaths, that is, they call it excess mortality, excess deaths. And what I did was I put in my submission and I posted to them my book. Now, the thing is that when years ago at university, we were told that where there's a problem, write a book about it, and you can actually force Parliament to change the laws. So that is what should happen in the future. That they, because I have put in the submission, explained all this just in a couple of pages with my book, hopefully we'll be able to get the laws changed in Australia, because we should have a right to life, but there is nothing.
What kind of response do you get in Australia? I'm assuming people are shocked, disturbed when they hear exactly what is in place there and how this works and how it's taking lives. What kind of reaction are you getting from the people? Then I'll ask you about the members of the governing body that you talk to.
Yeah, well, most people, they think that these euthanasia laws only applies to people who are terminally ill.
Yes.
Who have like physical problems. They have no idea about this question, everyday suicide question. They have no idea that old people and even younger people too are put in mental hospitals for no proper or legal or legitimate reason. They don't understand these things. They think euthanasia laws are only for the people who are suffering really badly, and saying that they should be allowed to die. Now, the problem is that academics, universities, they believe because that as soon as the physical body dies, the inner self completely disappears. That's not true. Now, I've you explained in my book various evidence that the inner self lives on, that we still have some form of existence even after the death of the physical body. Now, psychiatrists don't understand these things, and they can't, because if they do, they're regarded as unprofessional. And this is a problem, is that the parliament takes note of what the academics say, what the psychiatrists say, what science says. They're completely ignoring what the people say. And the point is that there are numerous people, it's quite common, that believe that life continues in some form after the death of the physical body. That's something which is known, something completely ignored by Parliament. But that's actually negligence.
But not in your book. You talk a lot about the spiritual self and Mother Nature and so many different issues that we don't commonly hear about, and you address those so well in the book Euthanasia Rebutted, No Right to Life in Australia by Daisy Snow, our guest on the program. Her website is daisysnow9-11books.com. Several books written there. Daisy, the new one I mentioned, Report to the UFO Alien It, when will that be available?
Oh, I haven't written that, but the point is that this is something that I really feel obliged to do. I explained in my Matriarch and World War III book how I had that first encounter with that UFO alien that I called It, because they were called Its in the olden days. I mean, in the olden days, they were called Its or Strangers. This thing was known just because the America or the Senate in America now states that they're not a hoax, they exist, doesn't mean they're coming from outer space just recently. They've been with us from time immemorial. And what they're actually doing is that they're guiding, looking after the people. They won't intervene unless they really have to. The thing is that this UFO alien, which I called It, well, my husband found that she was harder than steel. And her message to me was to get an education, which I've done. I mean, I went back to school after my children were born. I've been to university well over 10 years, studied in secret societies 10 years, and I have findings. And I feel really obliged. I mean, she told me to get an education. I've got findings. I feel I have to, first of all, I need to write a book, because that way I'm analysing it myself.
Yes.
But it's not impossible to actually deliver this, to actually take, I mean, I can't say where and how I can do that, but it can be done. The military in America know that there are some people in the world who have this contact. And there is a great deal known, but the problem is that, a great problem is that the Senate doesn't explain these various people who have actually had first encounters with these UFO aliens. It completely ignores that. And I mean, I found it's very important, because like, I was given that message, I've acted upon it, and I find that the world is really going in the wrong. It's completely ignoring the fact that there is a purpose for living. That we're not here in this world because of some accident.
Well, you bring that out in your books. And Matriarch and World War III, a 9/11 incursion, one of the books, 9/11 and the Holy War, 21st Century Style, several editions of each of those books available. We'll look forward to the new book. Daisy has told the story before of the encounter with the alien, and I can't wait to talk about that when the new book comes out. This book is a must-read. Euthanasia Rebutted, No Right to Life in Australia. Our guest has been Daisy Snow from Australia by Skype. Daisy, always a pleasure. Middle of the night for you over there. Thank you for getting up and sharing this chilling message with all of us, something we all need to hear. Thank you for being back with us again.
Yes, thank you for having me. Yes.
It is our pleasure. Daisy Snow, the website daisysnow9-11books.com. All of this in a direct link to our website on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.